Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 13 for study number 134 today, please. This 15-minute audio Bible study commentary is titled 1 Timothy Study 134-Paul's Past. Our text verse is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 13, and it reads thusly, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." Now let's pray. Fathers, we bow in your divine presence today. We pray that the touch of God might be upon our lips, our heart, our mind, and our soul. Lord, that we might be able to declare the whole counsel of God and hold back nothing but give everything that you desire for us to say. Now, Lord, you know where this message is going to. You know who's going to hear it. You know what they need today. And I pray, Father, by the Holy Spirit of God, that you direct our minds and hearts to say what our hearers need to hear today, not what they particularly want to hear, not what I particularly want to preach, but, Lord, today that which they need to hear for the glory and honor of God. You hold our spiritual life in your hand, and I pray, God, you'd help us to help them. Lord, use us and forgive us of our sins. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth and lift and exalt the holy name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Now, this is a 15-minute audio Bible study commentary, and we will call it number 134. It's from the first chapter of 1 Timothy and verse number 13. We will title this lesson today, Paul's Past. This will be our first study on verse 13 of this first chapter of 1 Timothy. Before we start this study, we want to point out that there are five statements, in this verse according to the punctuation. We will point out these five statements in which we will be discussing in future lessons. Now, statement number one is, who was before a blasphemer? Statement number two is, and a persecutor. Statement number three is, and injurious. Statement number four is, but I obtained mercy. And statement number five is, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now, these five statements are a continuation of verse 12, which did not end in a period, but a semicolon, which means that there's more to come, and we find it in verse number 13 here. These five statements in verse 13 will end the sentence Paul has started in verse number 12. Now, verse 12 deals with the present, and verse 13 deals with the past of the apostle's life. So we will be linking these two verses together. We must look at the present and the past of our lives, but only in the proper manner. We don't want to get too strung out in the wrong direction. We do not need to get hung up, so to speak, on either one of these, the past or the present. If we do, we'll lose sight of what our real priorities are from the Word of God. I believe that Paul had the proper manner in addressing these two things in his life. I believe he set the example for us. He knew what he was or used to be, and it had an effect upon him and his manner of life. He also knew what he was now at the present time, and he knew that it was by the grace of God. His main interest and goal was to be a vessel of honor for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to uplift and exalt him to the highest position in his life in order to reach those who had not received the Lord as of yet. Now, this verse is speaking of the past of the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul's name is not mentioned here, but the first word in this verse, who, is in reference to Paul. Remember, the first word of this chapter starts off with the word Paul. In verse 12, Paul is telling us that the Lord Jesus hath or had enabled him. The word hath, H-A-T-H, is a word that reveals the past and present of things. In the past, he was enabled, and in the present of this writing, he was still enabled. It is okay to talk about what we were and what we are by the grace of God as long as we have the right concept and attitude about these things. In all of Paul's writings, we find that he bragged about, he lifted up, and he exalted the Lord Jesus Christ and put himself down. He was a servant of the living God. He had the same thought that John the Baptist had when he said in John chapter 3 in verse number 30. John said this, he must increase, but I must decrease. The great men of God throughout the scriptures and in our past modern days did not brag on themselves or the things they used to do even before their conversion. As a matter of fact, they did not even brag on what they were even doing for the Lord at the present time that they were living. They exalted the Lord high in their lives and not what they had done or were doing or even thinking about doing. Now God loves, God honors, and God respects humility in our lives. The dedicated, the consecrated, and the separated Christian will not think very highly of their past life anyhow. None of us have anything to brag about of how we were before we received the salvation of God through His marvelous grace. I've seen some, though, who seem to brag about what they used to do before they were saved, and it seemed as if they were proud of what they did. They will even make you think that they were trying to persuade you that they were a worser sinner than you were, as if it was a great accomplishment. There's nothing in our past life that we should brag about. Before we get very far, let me say that godly men never think or speak lightly of their sins. When they know that they are forgiven, they rejoice that they are not what they used to be. I have seen and heard some make you think that they hated it because they had to give up some of their bad habits and ungodly sins and deeds. It would appear as though they wanted to go back to their past life if they had the opportunity. Those who have seen the exceeding sinfulness of sin by and through the light of the Holy Ghost of God and who have repented are the last persons on the earth to speak lightly of evil. The past is good if it is the past and under the blood of Christ. The present is good if you're forgiven and your sins are under the blood. Neither our past nor our present is worth bragging on unless our present is secured by the blood of Christ. The real thing we need to be grateful for and thankful for and worth exalting is our future that is under the blood of Christ. If you've never been saved, then you really have nothing to be excited about in this present life anyhow. It's not very exciting to know that you're headed to hell in the future because you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in your present. The good news is that you're still breathing and still have hope, and you still have an opportunity to call upon the Lord now in your present to ensure your future in heaven. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior, right now, please, friend, bow your head and humble your heart before God. Repent of your sin and allow the Lord Jesus to forgive you and move into your heart today while you still have the opportunity. Paul used the word was in this verse 13. This is his past. To think on our past in the proper manner will help us in several ways. We'll point out a few of them in the remainder of this lesson. Paul did not only use the word was, but he also puts another word with it that specifies a little more detail. He uses the phrase was before, which is his past. First, if we think of what we were before we were saved, it will excite gratitude and gratefulness in our heart to the Lord. By thinking on the sins we did before we were saved will make us grateful. of the saving grace of God that we have in our souls today. We were dead in trespasses and sins and on our way to hell. But now we are saved, forgiven, and on our way to heaven with eternal life. This makes me grateful for a holy God reaching down to the pits of hell and lifting me up out of the mire and guilt of sin. Ephesians 2 in chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Notice the word "were" in this verse. We were dead in sin, and now we are alive in Christ Jesus. Thanks be unto the holy God. Second, if we think on what we were before we were saved, it will create in us humility and kill pride in our lives. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10 gives us a testimony of Paul. He said, "For I'm the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Paul was humbled every time he thought on being born again from above. If our past life creates pride of any sort in our hearts, it's not of God. If we're inclined to lift up our head and boast of what a great man or a great woman we are, we need to go back to Calvary and to the Word of God and take another look. We as believers have nothing to brag about but Jesus, and we need to do that with all our heart and all our strength. Now third, if we think on what we were before we were saved, it should make us be thankful for repentance and the forgiveness of sin. Our sins are removed and washed away, and therefore we should be thankful that a holy God would reach down to fallen man and pick us up from an awful penalty of sin. His hands have reached further down than we could ever think about reaching up. We are forgiven people and should be grateful that we have a God that will forgive us of our sin when we confess our sins. Notice I said that God will forgive, not might forgive, when we confess our sins. The Word of God states in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now fourth, if we think on what we were before we were saved in the proper manner, it should create a fervent love for Christ in our hearts. To know that we are changed by his grace should help us to love the Lord as we have never loved him before. To think of what we are now and what we used to be will make us close to the Lord and love him with all our hearts. Knowing that we are no longer dead in trespasses and sins gives me and you a strong affinity and love for the Lord Jesus that this human mind can't even explain or even comprehend. We are to love the Lord with all our heart and all our soul, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. The Bible said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Now God put this command in the fifth book of the Bible, and he's handed it on down through the Word of God. God spoke this command to the people of Israel here. We're told this same thing by the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, found in Matthew 22 and verse 37. The Bible said, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Fifth, if we think on what we were before we were saved in the proper manner, it should create a zeal in our heart to win the lost and help them to see that they're lost without God. What I used to be reminds me of what the multitudes are living with today in their lives. There was a time when I did not seek or desire the Lord, but somehow somebody had enough zeal to witness to me and remind me that I was without God. Amen. And they prayed for me, witnessed to me, taught me, and preached to me that I would never go to hell. And thank God I didn't. Amen. And won't. Now, knowing my past, as Paul did, reminds me of my present salvation and redemption. It also reminds me of my future, that I have of an eternal home and glory with the presence of the Lord Jesus. This compels me down in my heart to do all I can to try to reach all of those who I come in contact with, and all those I can reach through recordings, through literature, and through the internet, to give them the gospel of the saving grace of God. We trust that this lesson number 134, Paul's past, has helped to inform you and helped you spiritually. May God bless you. Amen and amen.